RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello, listener. Welcome to English Bulletin program of a Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesia Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment Music Corner. That was our program summary for today, listener. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesia asks Egypt to lower import tariff of some Indonesian leading commodities to the country. United States military vessels entered Indonesia's waters, Indonesian Navy says. Now the news in detail. Indonesia has marketed a number of its leading commodities to Egypt. But unfortunately, the tariff of Indonesian imported commodities into Egypt are still relatively high. It was said by Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt, Helmi Fauzi, to RRI after Halal Bihalal of Minangkabau Students Association in Cairo on Tuesday night. The ambassador said at a meeting with the Egyptian Trade Minister recently, the embassy planned to explore a free trade agreement with Egypt. But it must firstly through the stages of preferential trade agreements PTA. Ambassador Helmi moreover added, his side also requested a decrease on import tariffs of some Indonesian commodities entering Egypt. We want to immediately explore the possibility of free trade agreement between Indonesia and Egypt, but then the stage is in the level of preferential trade agreement PTA between Egypt and Indonesia. We also asked the Egyptian Minister of Trade to reduce the import tariffs of a number of Indonesian commodities entering Egypt. Furthermore, Ambassador Helmi Fauzi added that the tariffs are applied to a number of Indonesian imported commodities entering Egypt range from 20% to 60%. The ambassador added, in addition to the existing commodities, the embassy in Cairo continues to make effort to explore the possibility of adding Indonesian commodities to Egypt, including the exploration of Pertamina's lubricant marketing in the country some time ago. The Indonesian Navy has confirmed that two U.S. Navy vessels that entered Indonesian waters of Natuna Islands in Riau Islands province in June did not breach any regulations. Navy Deputy Chief of Staff Vice Admiral Ahmad Taufikur Rahman told reporters recently in Batam that the vessels, the aircraft carriers, the USS Ronald Reagan and the USS George Washington, conducted innocent passage, and thus there was no problem with it. A source at the Navy previously revealed that the USS Ronald Reagan and the USS George Washington entered Indonesian waters in the Malacca Straits without permits, fueling suggestion that their presence was related to the effort to quell Islamic State group activities in the southern Philippines. Recently, the USS Ronald Reagan entered Natuna waters and flew off F-22 Raptor and Chopper in the region. The operation was then voided by the Indonesian Navy. The carrier left Indonesia's exclusive economic zone after being shadowed by Indonesian Navy warship the KRI Sultan Hasanuddin. Indonesian Commander of Battalion Indobat 23K Lieutenant Colonel Infantry Yudi Gumilar, who joined the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon UNIFIL Task Force, together with all soldiers in the area of UNIFIL mission to commemorate Idul Fitri 1438 Hijriah. Yudi Gumilar told Antara when he was contacted from Kupang on Wednesday. The event that was held as part of the relationship between the soldiers and part of a sense of brotherhood in celebrating the Idul Fitri. In addition, the moment is also used to provide motivation to the soldiers who have been more or less 4 months on duty in the area of mission. He explained that in the event, he visited three companies of troops stationed in the mission area. The three companies are Company A, Company B, and Company C. The Indopat commander, Yudi Gumilar, also visited the soldiers who are carrying out security in the border areas of Israel and Lebanon, or the Blue Line area. Yogyakarta Military District Command said it is gearing up for the visit of former U.S. President Barack Obama and his family to Yogyakarta on Wednesday, June 28. Military District Commander Fajar Setiawan said on Tuesday, June 27, in Yogyakarta, that the military have held a coordinated meeting to prepare for Barack Obama's visit to Yogyakarta. The military, however, did not disclose the planned destinations for the former U.S. president to visit. The coordinated meeting was attended by the Army, Air Force, Navy, and the police. The military also did not specify the number of security personnel to be deployed during Obama's visit to Yogyakarta. Nevertheless, the military will give special protection to several tourism destinations. The 44th President of the United States, Barack Obama, arrived in Yogyakarta on Wednesday and will spend his holiday in the region until June 30. He earlier visited Bali. Obama will later address the Indonesian Diaspora Congress in Jakarta on July 1. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. During his stays in Bali, former President of the United States, Barack Obama, along with his wife, Michelle, and two daughters, Sasha and Malia, visited Tirta Empul Temple in Tampak Siring Village, Gianyar District on Tuesday, June 27. Michelle and her two daughters toured the tourist attraction and met dozens of foreign tourists who mingled with the Balinese people during the sanctification ritual process. During the ritual, the people used water from dozens of showers that lined the pool site of the sacred area of the temple to wash and purify themselves. The 44th U.S. President's visit lasted about 30 minutes since 4:15 p.m. local time with tight police surveillance. During the visit, Obama waved to the local community and domestic and foreign tourists who came to the site after the celebration of Idul Fitri 1438 Hijriah. The local community enthusiastically welcomed their arrival, although Obama and his family visited the tourist attraction in a relatively short time. Barack Obama and his family have also been invited to attend the Bali Art Festival 2017 by Indonesian Tourism Ministry. Bali Tourism Agency head Gede Juniarta said on Tuesday, June 27, Bali Art Festival is one of Bali's art icons. It will be a pity of if they miss this opportunity. For an entire month, visitors will be entertained by more than 180 shows. At the festival, Barack Obama can witness the love that the Balinese have toward their culture. Around 5,000 people, including foreign art troops from Timor-Leste and India, are set to take part in the festival. One championship, the mixed martial art front runner in Asia, will pit two of the world's foremost flyweight fighters against each other during an inaugural event in Surabaya, East Java, on July 29. The flyweight division is considered one of the sport most discussed and much watched. Brackets and both pay-per-view and cable television. In view of this, the East Java capital will host one, Conquest of Kings, featuring the absolute best in local and international MMA talent. Headlining the card is undefeated one flyweight world champion Khairat Akhmetov, who will take on interim title holder Adriano Moraes to determine who is the undisputed king of the division in a world title unification bout. One championship chairman and chief executive Khatri Sitiothong said in a statement on Tuesday, June 27, these men are two of the flyweight division's finest athletes. In one corner, you got Khairat Akhmetov, who is eager to prove to the world that he deserves what rests upon his shoulder right now. On the other hand, Adriano Moraes is an excellent talent from Brazil and seeks to become a champion again. Akhmetov is undefeated in MMA, boasting an unblemished 23-0 record in his 6 years as a professional. The last item, Indonesia has become one of the countries that has initiated the establishment of June 27 as the International Day of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises. Indonesian Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga, said in Jakarta on Tuesday, June 27, that the Indonesian government has expressed happiness to be part of the international movement related to the MSMEs. He stated it is a pleasure to be part of the international world movement as last year Indonesian Council for Small Business took the initiative to form the International Day of MSMEs. The movement idea was acted upon by United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. The movement was initiated by the 11 initiating countries, including Indonesia. Indonesia was represented by the Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises and President of ICSB Indonesia, Hermawan Kartajaya. The initiative was launched in 2016 at the United Nations headquarters in New York. Puspayoga noted that the International Day of MSMEs serves as a form of appreciation and support of the international community toward the populous economy, which has become the backbone of the nation's welfare. Hopefully, MSMEs in Indonesia will be more successful in local and international market. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesia asks Egypt to lower import tariffs of some Indonesian-laden commodities to the country. The United States military vessels entered Indonesia's waters, Indonesian Navy says. That was the news.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang. Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
This is Sarah Ruud Silver's Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary. Today's commentary is on succession in Saudi Arabia. Currently, Saudi Arabia is one of the countries taking part in diplomatic action against Qatar, a country that is considered to be a sponsor for some extreme movements in the Middle East. But who actually caused the Saudis to do that? Apparently, it was Prince Mohammed bin Salman, son of King Salman ibn Abdul Aziz, who now serves as Minister of Defense, who encouraged the action. Not only that, his proposal as outlined in the Vision 2030 has directed the largest state in the Arabian Peninsula to release oil and gas as the main source of income. It was this vision that prompted King Salman, who ascended the throne in 2015, to visit East Asia and Southeast Asia. The Saudi kingdom invested billions of dollars in the two regions, including in Indonesia. Since the death of King Abdul Aziz Al Saud in 1953, Saudi Arabia has implemented a different style of succession from other monarchies in general. The descendants of King Abdul Aziz Al Saud made a succession among brothers starting from King Saud, King Faisal, King Khalid, King Fahd, King Abdullah to King Salman. But this fraternal succession did not seem to continue in the era of King Salman. Not long ago, he named one of his sons, Prince Mohammed bin Salman bin Abdul Aziz, as crown prince, replacing the uncle, Prince Nayef. Succession moves from the second generation, that is, the children of Abdul Aziz, whose average age is quite advanced, to the third generation, whose age is still very prime to lead. King Salman himself ascended the throne at the age of 79. Prince Mohammed, who is 31 years old, rose to the crown prince position after going through several stages. A week after King Salman bin Abdul Aziz ascended the throne in 2015, Mohammed was appointed Minister of Defense and Chief of the House of Saud Royal Court. He was also appointed Chairman of the Council of Economic Affairs and Development. And as the leader of this council, Mohammed launched a visionary program called Vision of Saudi Arabia 2030. Mohammed is tough against Iran, Saudi's main rival in the region. This was demonstrated when the Saudis launched an open attack against the Iran-backed Houthi in Yemen. The decision to cut off diplomatic relations with Qatar was not separated from the role of Mohammed. An observer from the Atlantic Council in Washington, Mohammed Al-Yahya, said the issue of the third-generation succession was a boon to the Saudis because the plans were made not just for 10 years, but up to 40 years ahead, as well as the continuity of the royal institution. The step of rejuvenation of leaders in the kingdom is indeed the prerogative right of the King Saudi today. Hopefully, this appointment puts Saudi Arabia back into a positive financial position. In recent years, the oil-rich country has a budget deficit due to falling world oil prices. Indeed, the stability of the region cannot be separated from the stable condition of Saudi Arabia. For Indonesia, Saudi Arabia is expected to be not only economically stable but also politically, as every year, hundreds of thousands of Indonesians performed the rites of pilgrimage and umrah, visiting the Grand Mosque in Makkah and the Nabawi Mosque in Medina. The worsening situation in the Saudis can affect foreign exchange earnings from Indonesian workers and the comfort of worshipping for the Muslims of Indonesia. Well, that was commentary today on succession in Saudi Arabia. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin. In 1914, Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria and his wife Sophie were assassinated in Sarajevo by Bosnian Serb nationalist Gavrilo Princip, the causes barely of World War I. Franz Ferdinand Karl Ludwig Joseph Maria was an Archduke of Austria-Este, Austro-Hungarian and Royal Prince of Hungary, and of Bohemia, and from 1896 until his death, heir presumptive to the Austro-Hungarian throne. His assassination in Sarajevo precipitated Austria-Hungary's declaration of war against Serbia. This cost the Central Powers, including Germany and Austria-Hungary, and Serbia's allies to declare war on each other, starting World War I. Next event is from 1919. The Treaty of Versailles was signed, ending the state of war between Germany and the allies of World War I. The Treaty of Versailles was one of the peace treaties at the end of World War I. It ended the state of war between Germany and the Allied powers. It was signed on June 28, 1919, exactly 5 years after the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. The other Central Powers on the German side of World War I were dealt with as separate treaties. Although the armistice signed on November 11, 1918 ended the actual fighting, it took 6 months of negotiations at the Paris Peace Conference to conclude the peace treaty. The treaty was registered by the Secretariat of the League of Nations on October 21, 1919. Last event in June 28, 2005, Saleh Afif, an Indonesian national figure, died. Saleh Afif was a former Minister of Administrative Reform, who was also as the Vice Chairman of National Development Planning Agency in the administration of President Suharto. His last position before he died was the Coordinating Minister of Economy, Finance and Development Supervision, Development Cabinet 6 from 1993 to 1998. At that time, he also became professor of the Faculty of Economics, University of Indonesia. Saleh Afif was born in Cirebon, West Java on October 31, 1931 and died in Jakarta on June 28, 2005 or at the age of 74 years. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Voice Green. Today we will talk about the world religious and custom leaders launch forest protection movement. For the first time, interfaith leaders and the world community leaders gathered to launch a forest protection movement through the Interfaith Rainforest Initiative Forum in Oslo, Norway, which was opened on Monday, June 19. Christian, Muslim, Jews, Hindu, Buddhist, and Taoist religious leaders gathered for 3 days with indigenous leaders to discuss goals and actions in protecting forests. The Interfaith and Indigenous Peoples meeting, which was held until June 21, organized by the Norway's International Climate and Forest Initiative, Rainforest Foundation Norway, and the United Nations Development Programme. Religious leaders and indigenous leaders who attended the event came from Brazil, Congo, Colombia, Peru, Indonesia, India, and South Africa. Also from Israel, the Philippines, Myanmar, the Vatican, Norway, the United States, Britain, France, and China. Indonesia was represented by the chairman of the Center for Dialogue and Cooperation Among Civilizations, Din Samsudin, Executive Director of Center for Religious and Cross-Cultural Studies, Gajah Mada University, Zainal Abidin Bagir, Vice Chairman of the National Council of Nusantara Indigenous Peoples, Alliance, Abdul Nababan, Director of Naladwipa Research Institute, Aziz Asman, and Director of Green Faith, Nana Firman, who currently resides in the United States. Honorary President of Religions for Peace, Bishop Emeritus Gunnar Stålsett. In a written address said, "The goal of cooperation with spiritual leaders and customary leaders is to define a joint plan of action in creating a rainforest protecting movement." Stålsett added, "The scope of this initiative is global. However, it provides a special focus on religious leaders, customs, networks, and institutions of countries that contain many tropical rainforests. Through the initiative, religious leaders are committed to protecting, restoring, and managing the world tropical rainforest sustainably for spiritual, environmental, social, and economic benefits." Din Samsudin, representing Islam, conveyed the Islamic views of the solution to the environmental crisis. He considered this condition as a moral crisis, so it needs to be overcome with an approach of moral values and religious ethics. According to Din Samsudin, Islam is the universal religion. There are 750 verses in the Quran that speak about nature, the preservation of the environment, and building of the earth. On the occasion, he also appreciated the Indonesian government's attention toward preservation of the environment and tropical forests. According to him, there need to be improved collaboration between religions, religious people, and the government in preserving the environment. Tropical forests in Indonesia are currently one of the world's most important lungs. Din Samsudin, who is also chairman of the steering committee of the Indonesian National Movement to Save the Planet, promised to encourage the institution to be more actively involved in effort to conserve tropical forests through conservation and restoration programs. That was the Voice Green. Listener, welcome to News in Brief. Indonesia has marketed a number of its leading commodities to Egypt. But unfortunately, the tariffs of Indonesian commodities imported into Egypt are still relatively high. It was said by Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Helmi Fauzi to RRI after Halal Bihalal of Minangkabau Students Association in Cairo on Tuesday night. The Indonesian Navy has confirmed that the two U.S. Navy vessels that entered Indonesian waters off Natuna Islands in Riau Islands province in June did not breach any regulations. Navy Deputy Chief of Staff Vice Admiral Ahmad Taufikur Rahman told reporters recently in Batam that the vessels, the aircraft carriers the USS Ronald Reagan and the USS George Washington, conducted innocent passage and thus there was no problem with it. Indonesian Commander of Battalion Indobat 23K, Lieutenant Colonel Infantry Yudi Gumilar, who joined the United Nations Interim Force in Lebanon, or UNIFIL Task Force, gathered with all soldiers in the area of UNIFIL mission to commemorate Idul Fitri 1438 Hijriah. He told Antara when he was contacted from Kupang on Wednesday. Yogyakarta Military District Command said it is gearing up for the visit of former U.S. President Barack Obama and his family to Yogyakarta on Wednesday, June 28. Military District Commander Fajar Setiawan said on Tuesday that the military have held a coordinated meeting to prepare for Barack Obama's visit to Yogyakarta. During his days in Bali, former President of the United States Barack Obama, along with his wife Michelle and two daughters, visited Tirta Empul Temple in Tampak Siring Village, Gianyar District, on Tuesday, June 27. One championship, the mixed martial art for frontrunner in Asia, will pit two of the world's foremost flyweight fighters against each other during an inaugural event in Surabaya, East Java, on July 29. Indonesia has become one of the countries that has initiated the establishment of the June 27 as the International Day of Micro, Small and Medium Enterprises. Indonesian Minister of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises, Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga, said in Jakarta, that the Indonesian government has expressed happiness to be part of the international movement related to MSMEs. Listener, that was News in Brief.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay, I'll try to Joglo Semarang.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semar, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly, what do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 95 to 5 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at english.rriworldservice.com. Listener, our next segment is Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of destinations in South Sulawesi Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, the beauty of beach in South Sulawesi is well known. In its capital city, Makassar, there are some beaches with clear sand which can spoil your eyes. The well-known beaches such as Losari and Bira have been long time taking public attention. In addition to those beaches, recently there has been a beach whose beauty of its nature is very interesting. It is Marumasa Beach. Listeners, Marumasa Beach is suitably visited when it's long holiday such as the moment of Idul Fitri. Because Marumasa Beach is interesting place to be explored, especially for adventurers. The beauty of the beach is also amazing. The beach has white color of lime beach and also clear and calm sea water, which becomes its own uniqueness. Besides, there are two exotic cliffs to enjoy sunrise. So, if you are trekking lover, you can climb the cliff in the morning to see sunrise when arriving at the peak. Listeners, Marumasa Beach has good spot for tourists who like to take photographs with amazing scenery. Favorite spot of tourists at this place is stones, swing or long poles. Besides, tourism management provides hammock at the beach for tourists who want to sit or take a rest while enjoying fresh air and also amazing scenery. Listeners, administratively, Marumasa Beach is located at Darubiah, Bonto Bahari, Bulukumba Regency, South Sulawesi Province. Trip from Makassar City will take around 4.5 hours. Because its location is hidden, it's better for you to use private vehicles. Usually, some tourists who visit it choose to rent car with driver from Bulukumba to anticipate losing on the way. Listeners, that was our segment Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
How to speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Di Pasar, which in English means at the market. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly, and you can repeat after me. Ke pasar. Ke pasar, in English, to the market. Di mana. Di mana, in English, where. Membeli. Membeli, in English, to buy. Bawang merah. Bawang merah, in English, red onion. Bawang putih. Bawang putih, in English, garlic. Bawang bombay. Bawang bombay, in English, onion. Paprika. Paprika, in English, peppers. Ayam. Ayam, in English, chicken. Kecap manis. Kecap manis, in English, soy sauce. Minyak wijen. Minyak wijen, in English, sesame oil. Sawi putih. Sawi putih, in English, Chinese cabbage. Sawi hijau. Sawi hijau. Sawi hijau, in English, green mustard. Broccoli. Broccoli, in English, broccoli. Wortel. Wortel, in English, carrot. Ayam goreng mentega. Ayam goreng mentega, in English, butter fried chicken. Capcay. Capcay, in English, capcay. Enak. Enak, in English, delicious. Makan. Makan, in English, to eat. Terima kasih. Terima kasih, in English, thank you. Menunggu. Menunggu, in English, to wait for. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Di Pasar, or in English means at the market. The conversation is between A. Nina and B. Lucy. A. Hi Lucy, kamu kemana? Hi Lucy, kamu kemana? In English, Hi Lucy, where are you going? B. Lucy, di pasar modern BSD. di Pasar Modern BSD. In English, I'm here at BSD Modern Market. Hey Nina, kamu mau beli apa? Kamu mau membeli apa? In English, what do you want to buy? B. Lucy, membeli bawang merah, bawang putih, kecap manis, minyak wijen, bawang bombay, paprika, ayam, dan kecap manis. Membeli bawang merah, bawang putih, kecap asin, minyak wijen, bawang bombay, paprika, ayam, kecap manis. In English, I want to buy onion, garlic, soy sauce, sesame oil, onions, peppers, chicken, sweet soy sauce. A. Nina, apakah tidak membeli sayuran? Apakah tidak membeli sayuran? In English, why you do not buy vegetables? B. Lucy, saya juga membeli sawi putih, sawi hijau, brokoli, wortel, dan bakso sapi. Saya juga membeli sawi putih, sawi hijau, brokoli, wortel, dan bakso sapi. In English, I also buy white mustard, green mustard, broccoli, carrots, and beef meatballs. Hey Nina, ingin memasak apa? Ingin memasak apa? In English, what do you want to cook? B. Lucy, saya ingin memasak ayam goreng mentega dan capcay. Saya ingin memasak ayam goreng mentega dan capcay. In English, I want to cook butter fried chicken and capcay. A. Nina, pasti masakanmu enak. Pasti masakanmu enak. In English, it's surely delicious. B. Lucy, kamu makan di rumahku ya? Kamu makan di rumahku ya? In English, why don't you eat at my house? A. Nina, ya, terima kasih. Ya, terima kasih. In English, okay, thank you. B. Lucy, aku tunggu di rumah ya. Aku tunggu di rumah. In English, I wait for you at home. That was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thank you for your attention. See you again next week. And sampai jumpa.
Hey Michelle, what are you reading?
Oh, hi Steve. I'm reading an Indonesian travel brochure. And guess what?
What?
It's really fun and challenging, you know?
Really?
Yeah, all scenery looks so beautiful. Now I can decide where to visit.
Well, how about Joglo Semarang? It is short term for Yogyakarta, Solo, and Semarang.
Oh.
And it is one of the 10 main tourism destinations in Indonesia.
Okay. I'll try to Joglo Semarang.
Make your dream of having a holiday in Joglo Semarang, Indonesia come true by joining VOI International Quiz 2017. Answer the following question. 1. Please mention some VOI programs and which one is your favorite. 2. When do you listen to VOI and in what language? 3. How do you listen to VOI? 4. What is your suggestions for VOI? 5. Tell us briefly,
What do you know about Indonesia?
Send the answers along with your personal data, passport number, and passport expiry date to VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id. VOI International Quiz at voi.co.id before August the 1st, 2017. See you in Indonesia!
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Hernita, in the Music Corner. Today, we will present you some religious songs by a vocal group namely Nora. To initiate today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the first song entitled Kekasih Halalmu by Nora. Stay tuned.
Jangan coba-coba sentuh hatiku kalau kau tak niat serius. Bila ku benar-benar jatuh cinta, apa kau mau tanggung jawab? Bukan berarti ku tak suka kau dekati aku, tapi aku takut kau hanya memberiku harapan palsu.
Listener, that was the song entitled Kekasih Halalmu by Nora Group. Nora is a vocal group that was formed on February 2, 2014. The group personals are Usi, Sasa, Nina, and Laili. Before forming a vocal group, all Nora personnel are Muslim fashion models. so do not be surprised if all personals always look beautiful by using hijab like fashion models. The reason to get into the Indonesian music scene is to be able to sing while simultaneously becoming a model in music video or photo shoot. Nora's first single is Kekasih Halalmu that was released several months after the group was formed. The lyrics of the song tells about someone who wants to get sincerity of love from someone special. Nora also hopes the lyrics of the song can inspire listeners to have a serious relationship. The lyrics and arrangement of the song Kekasih Halalmu sounds like an ordinary pop song, but the Islamic values are very thick. That's because Nora really wants to spread propaganda through poetry. Listener, before we talk more about religious songs from Nora, let's enjoy the next song entitled Hanya Sementara. That was Hanya Sementara by Nora. Once again, Nora presents religious values through easy listening lyrics and pop arrangements. The lyrics of the song Hanya Sementara invites the listener to self-introspection and start back on the right path while still alive. The name of the vocal group Nora comes from Arabic words, which consist of two words, namely Nur, which means light, and Nora means bloom. As the name implies, Nora wants to be a blooming light in the Indonesian music industry. Despite establishing themselves as hijabers pop or hip-hop genre, Nora does not want to be considered as a seasonal singer who only appeared in Ramadan. Unfortunately, in 2016, Nora had lost its one personnel, namely Layli, who decided to resign. In 2017, Layli's position was replaced by Dea Henara. The presence of Dea Henara, who is good to play guitar and likes to write lyrics of songs, bring new colors to Nora. Well, listener, that was today's Music Corner featuring Nora Group. To conclude today's edition of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs by Nora, entitled Andai Ku Tahu and Cinta Sekali Saja. Happy listening, and see you in the next Music Corner. Bye for now.
Ku tahu kapan tiba ajalku, ku akan memohon Tuhan tolong panjangkan umurku. Andai ku tahu kapan tiba masaku, ku akan memohon Tuhan jangan kau ambil nyawaku. Aku takut akan semua dosa-dosaku. Aku takut dosa yang terus membayangiku. Andai ku
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.